بسم الله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا جناح عليكم ان طلقتم النساء ما لم تمسوهن او تفرضوا لهن فريضه ومتعوهن على الموسع قدره وعلى المقتر قدره متاعا بالمعروف حقا على المحسنين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم We shall resume our درس قرآن from verse number 236 of سورة بقرة اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم تبارک تعالی سیز لا جناح علیکم ان طلقتم النساء there is no sin on you if you divorce women ما لم تمسوهن those you haven't touched مس سیمسو you haven't touched او تفرضوا لهن فریضا now these are women you haven't touched nor fixed for them an amount and you haven't fixed for them an amount وَمَتِّعُهُنَّ عَلَى الْمُوْسِي قَدَرُهُ وَعَلَى الْمُقْتِرِ قَدَرُهُ مَتَعًا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ and then Allah says so give them benefit a rich man according to his means and a poor man according to his means and it should be a benefit بالمعروف in a recognized manner in a recognized manner And then Allah Ta'ala says, حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ حَقْ وَيَا means that it's an obligation on the virtuous, on those who have ihsan. Now, we'll translate the next verse as well along with it because these two verses are completely interlinked and they both relate to one injunction. Hence, we'll translate both the verses together and then we'll go into details explanation of it. Allah Ta'ala says in the next verse, وَإِن طَلَّقْتُمُهُنَّ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن تَمَسُّوهُنَّ And if you give them talaq, if divorce them, before you have touched them, touching wayah means consummation of marriage. So before you have consummated the marriage, وَقَدْ فَرَثْتُمْ لَهُنَّ فَرِيدًا And indeed you have fixed an amount for them. You have fixed a mahar for them. Allah Ta'ala says, فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَثْتُمْ So it will be half the amount that you fixed. It will be half the amount that you have fixed. إِلَّا أَن يَعْفُونَ أَوْ يَعْفُوَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ عُقْدَةُ النِّكَاحِ Allah Ta'ala says, yes, it has to be half the amount unless the women forgive or the person in whose hand lies the marriage tie, he forgives, right? And Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَن تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُ لِلْتَقْوَى And if you forgive, it's closer to taqwa if you forgive. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ And do not forget being graceful to one another. Do not forget being graceful to one another. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ Surely Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is watchful of what you do. Now, we talked about this previously, that these verses are talking about the dawah is called We call it mahar. So we'll use the word mahar over here. It's the mahar that has been, that's sunnah. That one should make it and should act according to the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now, mahar and consummation, two things. The dower and the consummation. There can be four situations with dower, consummation and divorce. The first one is that let's suppose the dower is not fixed, the mahar is not fixed, and the consummation has not taken place as well. In these all, now listen to this carefully, on all these four conditions there will be divorce. So the first condition is the dower is not fixed and the consummation has not taken place. First. The second condition is that the dower is fixed but the consummation has not taking place. Two things. The third thing is the dower is fixed and consummation has taken place and then the divorce occurs. The fourth is the dower has not been fixed but divorce was given after consummation. Now these last two injunctions have been dealt previously. So the third one is dawah is fixed and there is consummation has taken place and now there is talaq, there is divorce. So now the fixed dawah, the fixed mahar has to be paid. It's mandated to pay the fixed mahar. That's what normally occurs in our society as well. The mahar is fixed, consummation has taken place and then divorce occurs. Now you have to pay the full mahar, full amount. The second is that consummation has taken place, but the dawah was not fixed, and then divorce occurs. So they were living together, but there was no dawah. The mahar wasn't fixed; it wasn't decided. The marriage was had consummated, and then divorce occurred. Now what to do? Now the word comes over here. The husband will have to pay Mahr-Misl is basically a mahr that is in the divorcee's family. So what is normally given in the wife's or in the woman's family as mahr, that will be considered as an amount and that will be mandatory for husband to pay. Right? So these are two conditions. Now the first two conditions, what were the first two conditions? The first two conditions was dawah is not fixed and consummation has not taken place. And the second is dawah is fixed but consummation has not taken place. And now these two verses, the verse number 236 and 237, they deal with those two injunctions. Now, so the first one is, what is the first one? The first one is there is no dawah. The dawah has not been fixed. Right? And the consummation has not taken place. So here Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, if this is the situation, now because the dower is not due, it is but obligatory for the husband to give something on his own to the woman. The dower is not fixed. Consummation hasn't taken place. In our words we can say the ruksati hasn't taken place. Consummation means the ruksati. Ruksati has not taken place, dower was not fixed. So now Allah Ta'ala says, it's not obligatory for the man to give anything except for something that is given by his own self. So it can be, and the least of it, inshallah we'll deal with it, the least of it is at least giving her a set of clothes. Now but Allah says there's no amount for this gift. It's not mahar, it's called gift. There's no amount for it, but Allah says over here, al-mu'si qadru wa al-muqtir qadru. For the affluent, for the one who's rich, it should be according to his capacity. And for the one who's poor, it should be according to his capacity. That means if someone is extremely rich, indeed the dower wasn't fixed and the consummation ruksati hasn't taken place, but he should pay something that's of his own capacity. He should not be tight-fisted at this moment. So therefore it comes in Tafsir al-Qurtubi that Sayyidina Hasan رضي الله عنه, when he underwent a similar situation, he gave around 20,000 dirhams to the wife. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas said that the least that has to be given is at least the lowest degree. I mean, for the poorest man, it has to be at least one set of clothes. And one set of clothes can be from anywhere. It doesn't have to be Al-Karama. It can be from anywhere, right? It has to be, it can be used. Similarly, Qazi Surai Rahimahullah Ta'ala has said that when he underwent the situation, he gave around 500 dirhams. So it depends. You can give it as much as you want, as little, but the least has been mentioned in Hadith. It's at least one pair of clothes. I'll get to your question inshallah later. Now the second situation, what was the second situation? The second situation is, that you have fixed the woman's dower, you have fixed the woman's mahar, it's fixed. But divorce occurs before consummation. Manam tamassuhunna, right? Now what's supposed to be done over here? So now Allah Ta'ala says over here it's obligated, and that comes in the next verse. And there Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِن طَلَّقْتُمُوهُنَّ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن تَمُسُّوهُنَّ وَقَدْ فَرَضْتُمْ لَهُنَّ فَرِيضًا. If you do not, you give them divorce before touching them, and the dower was fixed. Now what you have to give is فنصف ما فرضتم. You have to give half the amount. You have to give half. So it will be mandatory upon the husband to give at least half the amount. So let's suppose at the marriage ceremony it was decided that the amount to be given as mahar is 1 lakh rupees. But before rukhsati, before confirmation, divorce occurs. So now it's obligated for the man to pay how much? Half of it. 50,000. Has to pay? He has to pay 50,000. But Allah Ta'ala says ahead, illa an yafuna. If, however, the woman forgives means she says, okay, I don't want 50,000, you can keep it with you. You can keep it with you. Or, aw yafu alladhi. Or that person forgives. That person means, ayyafu alladhi biyadihi uqdatun nikah. The one who has the marriage tie in his hand. That's the husband. If he forgives, what does his forgiveness mean? His forgiveness will be that, for example, he has already paid 1 lakh rupees at the marriage ceremony. Rukhsati hasn't occurred. So now his forgiveness is giving her complete 1 lakh rupees. Can you get my point? Her forgiveness is giving back the 50,000 that she had, that the man is supposed to give. But if the man has already paid 1 lakh rupees, then his forgiveness can be that he should let go of the remaining 50,000 as well. Can you get my point? Woman's forgiveness is that she does not take the 50,000 rupees. That was, the man has to pay. That's her forgiveness. And the man's forgiveness is that he says, you keep all the 1 lakh rupees, the amount that I've paid in mahar to you. Can you get my point? So this is very important. Now, this word yafu means forgiveness, that you should forgive. Forgiveness means you give the full dower. That even if the full dower has been paid, just let go of it. Just let go of it. And then Allah Ta'ala says over here that if you forgive, it's closer to taqwa. It's closer to taqwa. It's closer to taqwa. And this is very important over here. That Allah Ta'ala is saying it's closer to taqwa. Now we're talking about relationships between husband and wife. We're talking about divorce. We're talking about divorce second before consummation. Allah Ta'ala is saying, وَأَنْتَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُوا لِلتَّقْوَى. It's near to the taqwa. What's the reason? The reason is, it's just taqwa. It's only and only taqwa that can enable a person to fulfill the rights of others. If a person doesn't have taqwa, he will not be able to fulfill the rights of others. He will be rather trying to deceive the other person, dodge the other person. He will try to take his rights in his hands and will not want to pay a single penny to the person. That's what's happening in our society as well. Why? Because the society is lacking taqwa. Therefore, so we said taqwa, the khulasa of taqwa is that a person leaves all sins from his head to toe, all the sins that he commits openly and secretly. Bazaru zahir al ismi wa batina. All the sins that a person commits openly and secretly in his inner heart and his outer body, he leaves all the sins, and along with it, he adorns himself from his head to toe in all the zahiri and batin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the definition of taqwa. That's the definition of taqwa. So if there is taqwa, then because of having taqwa, because of having the piety and fear of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, no one will be able to deceive the other person. Because he knows, if I deceive that person, I will be held accountable in the yes, in Qiyamah. I will be held accountable in the presence of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Hence a person cannot deceive anyone. A person cannot lie. A person cannot backbite. A person cannot hate anyone. A person cannot show his hatred towards anyone. Try and get my point? That's the importance of taqwa. And that's why the Baraka has mentioned taqwa in this mundane issue. It's a mundane issue. It has a completely mundane issue that occurs on a daily basis. People giving divorce. But Allah says taqwa. That in this bond of marriage as well, the thing that will keep this bond in complete and its sanctity, that has to be taqwa. There has to be taqwa. This bond of marriage can only survive if there is taqwa. If there is no taqwa from either side, this bond of marriage will not be able to survive in its best way. That's why Allah says, أَقْرَبُوا taqwa, أَقْرَبُوا taqwa, أَقْرَبُوا taqwa. So we should have this taqwa. Now coming to one last point, and then I will try to get some other points out of it. Allah Ta'ala says, أَوْ يَعْفُوَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ أُقْتَدُ النِّكَاحِ. Allah Ta'ala says, in whose hands lies the marriage tie? Very simple translation. Wala alladhi, the one person, biyadihi, in whose hand is uqdatun nikah, marriage tie. Now the question is, who is this person? Allah Ta'ala, the Prophet has reported, said in Darul Qutni, that the husband is the guardian of the bond of marriage. The husband is the guardian of the bond of marriage. Now, and it's very clear from this verse as well. Allah Ta'ala says, إِلَّا أَن يَعْفُونَ, if they forgive, and by they it means the women. And Allah Ta'ala says, أَوْ يَعْفُوَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ أُقْتَدُ النِّكَاحِ, بِيَدِهِ أُقْتَدُ النِّكَاحِ. Allah Ta'ala says, بِيَدِهِ, not بِيَدِهَا, in whose hand. The zameer he over here, the zameer ha is over, is returning towards the male. Men. So this tells us the tie of the marriage is in the hands of the man. Why am I focusing on it so much, and why am I putting so much stress on it? The reason is that this tells us the authority to continue or terminate the bond of marriage rests in the hands of the husband, not the wife. This is a new issue that's been raised up in our secular media and in the liberal world, that why is women not given the authority to continue the marriage or cancel the marriage? And therefore in the West, where there is no deen, people don't follow deen, people don't know about deen, and there is fitna from everywhere, they have given this authority to the women as well. They want to, if they want to continue, they can continue, or they can terminate the marriage. But Allah Ta'ala said in Quran very clearly, بِيَدِهِ, it's the man in whose hand this authority lies. And it's clearly said by the Prophet ﷺ in Hadith as well, in Darul Qutni. The Prophet ﷺ said, it's in the hands of the husband. So we need to know this. If people argue with this, tell them this verse. Allah Ta'ala is saying, it's بِيَدِهِ أُقْدَةٌ نِكَاحٌ. There's difference in Arabic grammar, those who go in detail in Arabic grammar, there's a difference for zameer. Zameer is basically, you can say pronouns. You can say pronouns. We use pronouns him, her. So for men, it's usually a single ha. You see, with the بِيَدِهِ, بِيَدِهِ. If it's for women, it's a بِيَدِهَا. It's for, yeah. For example, I say, if I talk about this mobile, if I say it's his mobile, I will say جَوَالُهُ. It's his mobile. But if I say it's her mobile, I will say جَوَالُهَا. It's her mobile. And get my point? Right? So it's very clearly shown from this verse itself that the power to continue and terminate marriage lies in the hand of the husband, yeah, the man. So we need to get this very clear in our minds. Right? So whatever our logic thinks, whatever we think, it's wrong. What Allah Ta'ala is saying is 100% right. And that's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. And therefore, Hazrat Dawud Ali sometimes jokes, Hazrat says, like, if women was given the authority to continue or terminate the marriage, it would be highly possible that on daily basis, the woman would be giving divorce on 100 times daily basis. She will be giving divorce around 100 times on daily basis, because that's how her emotional state is, right? So that can be the hikmah, that can be the logic, that can be the rationality behind it. But the reason is Allah Ta'ala's hukum. Allah Ta'ala's hukum, Allah Ta'ala's injunction has been clearly mentioned in this verse. So I just wanted to get this across the board. Now coming to the other parts of these two verses. So verse number 236. In verse number 236, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned something right in the end. Right in the end. Allah Ta'ala says, حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ. حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Now the word حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ, if you translate it, it means it's an obligation on the virtuous. On the virtuous. So what do you mean by محسنين? What do you mean by محسنين? Who are the محسنين? The question is, who are the محسنين? So in Bukhari Sharif and Muslim Sharif, there's a famous hadith called Hadith Jibreel, which Allah Ta'ala himself sent Sayyidina Jibreel Islam to the Prophet ﷺ to make it clear that who are the muhsineen. And then Sayyidina Jibreel Islam asks the Prophet ﷺ, O Prophet of Allah, what's ihsan? And the Prophet ﷺ replies, أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. That you worship Allah Ta'ala in this state as if you are looking at Him, and if you cannot have this state, then at least think that He is looking at us. But this is just one narration. This is one narration which is أن تعبد الله. In another narration of Musnad Imam Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa رحمه الله has read this hadith, it says أن تعمل الله. You should act in a certain, in this way, that as if you're looking at Allah Ta'ala. Why I'm using this another narration is because some people try to use this verse only for namaz, for salah. You should pray in this state that as if you're looking at Allah Ta'ala. No, it's for the whole life. A person should be living a life in this state as if he's looking at Allah Ta'ala 24/7. Or if not that state, then at least Allah Ta'ala is looking at him 24/7. So in our term, in the term of the Sufiya, the term of the Mashaykh, the first thing is called Mushahida and the second thing is called Muraqabah. The first thing is called Mushahida, whereby you have this Mushahida of Allah, you're looking at Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala. This is the state for the Arifin, for Arifin Kamilin, for the big Awliya Kamilin. Right? The second state is of Muraqabah. Muraqabah is as if you're thinking that Allah Tabaraka is looking at you. And therefore, our Mashaykh have driven from this. The Muraqabah that we, what's Muraqabah? You keep thinking Allah Ta'ala's mercy is coming on my heart and my heart is saying Allah, Allah, Allah. And while a person is doing this Muraqabah, and if he does this regularly, he gets this state of Muraqabah whereby he's in the state 24/7, Allah Ta'ala is with me. Allah Ta'ala is with me. He gets into that state. So these are the people of Muhsin, these are the people of Ihsan, these are the people of Ihsan. Those who spend their day and night as if they're looking at Allah Ta'ala, or if not in that state, then at least in the state where Allah Ta'ala is looking at them. Now I ask a question. If a small child of 2 years old is looking at us, we cannot commit a sin. We cannot get close to a sin. If Allah Ta'ala is looking at us 24/7 and we have this feeling of Allah Ta'ala looking at us 24/7, can we even get closer? Can we even get close to sin? No. Allah Ta'ala is looking at us 24/7. Therefore, they are saying it's alal haqq and alal muhsineen. Therefore, the ihsan is such an important concept in Deen of Islam. And therefore, the people of ihsan, Allahu Kabira, the number of the people of ihsan is decreasing day by day. And the way you can get ihsan is only and only the simple two ways of getting ihsan. One is the company of the awliyaullah, and second is doing abundant zikr of Allah Ta'ala. That's it. There is no other way right now in this day and age to get the level of ihsan. Ihsan can be attained by the company of the awliya, by the ulama'i kamilin, ulama'i rabbaniyin, by the mashayikh of all mashayikh. And the second thing is doing zikr abundantly. These two things are mandatory to get this level of ihsan. This is the first verse. In next verse, Allah Ta'ala is saying, right in the end. And this is, وَلَا تَنْسُوا الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. The translation of this verse is, and do not forget being graceful. وَلَا تَنْسُوا, don't forget, فَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. We should not forget being graceful. What does it mean? Allah Ta'ala is telling us that even at the time of divorce, when the bond of the marriage is about to break, when the husband and wife are about to separate, in that time as well, you should not forget what? Grace. You should always be graceful, even at the time of the divorce. Now imagine if Allah Ta'ala wants us to be graceful at the time of going undergoing this huge thing of breaking the marriage bond. Right? The hadith says, the Prophet ﷺ has said that أَبْغَزَ الْحَلَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, the most hated halal thing, the most hated halal thing in the eyes of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala is talaq. Allah Ta'ala hates it so much. It's halal, but it's hated by Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala so much. So imagine Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala is telling us to remember to be graceful, to be soft, kind, humble, gentle, when you're undergoing the process of divorce, where you're literally separating two families, you're separating complete two entities. At that time, you have to be graceful. And then do not forget being graceful to one another. So imagine what will Allah Ta'ala want us to be while we are in the bond of marriage. This tells us the concept of marriage Islam. it should not forget being blissful right at this moment. And you know, in our society, when this moment comes of divorce, Allahu Akbar Kabir, Al Aman, Al Hafiz, the allegations from every side. The wife thinks husband was completely wrong, and the husband thinks the wife was completely wrong, and the allegations from both the sides. Forget grace. They don't even know the meaning of grace at that time. They don't even know what politeness is. They don't even know what being kind and gentle means. They forget everything at that time. So this is another point, that we need to have this grace, and being, we should be graceful to each other at this time. And then Allah says, remember, how can you attain this, being, have this nature? How can you attain this level of your character or your akhlaq? It's only by having this verse in your mind, Inna Allah bima ta'maluna basir. Remember, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, surely Allah Ta'ala is watchful of what you do. So don't forget, Allah Ta'ala is not looking at us. Allah Ta'ala is looking at, Allah Ta'ala knows what you're doing. So exactly, first thing, the second, is the second category of ihsan. Allah Ta'ala is looking at us. If we have this feeling, again, see, two verses having this link. First verse had ihsan in it, the first category of ihsan. The second verse had the second category of ihsan, where Allah Ta'ala is saying that indeed I am looking at you. So if you have this feeling, at least in yourself, Allah Ta'ala is looking at us, you will not be able to disrespect the other person. You will not be able to have, you make false allegations against someone. Trying to get my point? So these, this is the link between these two verses. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us ihsan, and may Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us this level of akhlaq, whereby we are graceful, respectful, helpful, gentle, kind, polite to everyone, even at the pinnacle of our fight and atrocity to anyone. Right? So let's just retranslate the verses. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. La junaha alaykum in tallaqtumun nisaa ma lam tamassuhunna. Allah Ta'ala says there is no sin on you that if you divorce the woman whom you haven't touched, aw tafridu lahunna fariza, and nor fix for them an amount. So you haven't fixed for them an amount. Amount means over here, mahar. وَمَتِّعُنَّ عَلَى الْمُوْسِي قَدْرُهُ وَعَلَى الْمُقْفِرِ قَدْرُهُ. Allah Ta'ala says, so give them benefit. So you should give them some benefit. And what does the least of the benefit is? At least a pair of clothes. A rich man according to his means and a poor one according to his means. A benefit in a recognized manner. حَقًّا عَلَى الْمُحْسِنِينَ. It's an obligation on the muhsinin, on the virtuous. Then Allah Ta'ala says in the next verse, injunction related to the other category. وَإِنْ طَلَّقْتُمُهُنَّ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَمَسُّوهُنَّ. If you divorce them before touching them, before touching them means before consummating the marriage, before the rukhsati in our terms, in this country. وَقَدْ فَرَفْتُمْ لَهُنَّ فَرِيزًا. And indeed, you had fixed an amount, you had already fixed an amount for them. Now what's there? فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَفْتُمْ. So it's mandatory for you to pay half the amount that you had fixed. Half the amount. إِلَّا أَن يَعْفُونَ. Except for the fact, if they means the women forgive their part. If women forgive their part, if they forgive their part, أَوْ يَعْفُوَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ عُقْدَةُ النِّكَاحِ. Or the person on whose hand the tie, or the you can say the marriage tie lies, if he forgives his part, that's the husband forgives his part, then that's good. Then that's good. Allah says, وَأَنْ تَعْفُوا. And if we forgive, أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. If anyone of them forgives, it's أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. It's closer to taqwa. وَلَا تَنْسَبُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. And you should not forget being graceful to one another. You should not forget being graceful to one another. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. Surely Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala is watchful of what you do. May Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala enable us to act on these verses. May Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala grant us ihsan. And may Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala make us from the muhsineen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.